Good morning. Welcome to Westminster this morning. My name is Ben. I'm the pastor of the College Station congregation. We're really glad to have you. And as Wade mentioned a moment ago, our motto, our slogan here is Gospel Community for Life's Journey. And today marks the end of the series, the little mini-series we've been doing for the last few weeks on that very thing, Gospel Community for Life's Journey. And so this morning, Wade and I are going to tag team preach. I'm going to preach for about 15 minutes. Got it. Better look at the clock. And then Wade, because we want to kind of wrap up this series together. And today we're talking particularly about the aspect of life's journey, doing life's journey together and how we do that together. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11 through 16. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. As I mentioned this morning, we're going to be talking about how do we grow together? How do we grow together in this journey that's called life? And in many ways, it's about, it's about going back to the basics. One of my favorite stories is the story of Jack Nicklaus and his golf coach, Jack Grout. And he began coaching Jack Nicklaus when he was 10 or 11 years old. And he was his coach for 39 years until he died. And every year, no matter how many championships Jack Nicklaus had won, no matter how much success he had had on the golf course, every year he would go back and he would spend time on the driving range with his golf coach. And he would say, "Teach me how to play golf." Dude's won like 18 championships or something crazy like that. 18 majors. And he's still getting back to the basics. Well, what we are, we're in the middle of a chapter here in chapter 4. And we're in the middle of a chapter where we see where God wants us to grow. Not just, He wants us to grow in a couple different ways. He wants us to grow together. He wants us to grow up in Jesus. And He literally wants us to grow. He wants more people being drawn in and being loved and cared for. So really at the beginning of this chapter, Paul tells us we start together. It's all about unity. We're not going to grow if we're not unified and we don't understand that unity that we have in Christ. One of the exercises I did when I was a campus minister with our leadership team was I could tell there was some things going on that, were promoting disunity, among our leadership team, and I could kind of smell it, sniff it out. And so we showed up to the meeting that night for the leadership team, and there's, 16 or 18 students in there. And I said, "Okay, everybody stand up, get in a circle and hold hands." And boy, they didn't like that at all. but I was trying to say, look, we're going to stand here and we're going to do the business of ministry together. We're going to do our business meeting tonight holding hands in a circle, the whole thing. Because I want you to see how it changes the dynamic, how us being unified and together changes the whole posture of our ministry and how important that is. And I think it was a pretty fruitful meeting. Even as we talked about the problems, it was a fruitful meeting. Paul, so it's about unity. I love the choir just saying, one of the other big components about growing together is that remembering that we are one Spirit, one Lord, one Father. That the same Jesus that you worship is the same Jesus I worship, and the same Heavenly Father you have is the same Heavenly Father that I have. The same Spirit at work in all of us. And then we come to our text this morning, and remembering that God has given us all gifts and diverse ministries. That's what we see in this text. And I want to kind of think for a second with you about what exactly is the gift, and kind of maybe introduce some new categories. I want you to think of your gifts in these terms. That all of us have different stories. We have different backgrounds. We have different personalities. We have all have had different challenges in our lives. And I want you to put all of that in the category of gift. All of it. All the hardships, all the good things, the stories, the backgrounds, the personality, all of that is you and me. And all of that is gift. Gift that God uses to grow His church, both numerically, because now we have these diverse ministries. You know, there's ministries that we all have diverse ministries in the church. There's ministries that I'm pretty good at, and there's ministries that I'm effective at, and there's ministries that you're good at and you're effective at. And I'm not effective at those things, so we need you. And you're not effective at my things, so you need me. All of these stories and backgrounds that we have, God has given us as gifts for our diverse ministries. And I want you to understand we all have gifts. I don't want the feelings of inadequacy to push out the reality that the victorious, risen Jesus has distributed gifts to His people. That's what occurs in the text right before our text. It's a psalm about a victorious king setting his captives free and then giving the spoils of that war to his people in order to unify and to grow them. That's right before our text. And the flip side, I don't want you to believe that you have all the gifts necessary. I've said this before, but I used to think it really took a certain type of person to really do ministry. And I was striving to be that person. You and I kind of talk about this. We're like, oh, well, she's gifted. Or he's gifted. That's our code for this person. This is the type of person that really fits ministry. We all do it. We don't realize what we're doing. But the reality is that Jesus has given all of us gifts for the work of ministry. And the reality is it takes all kinds of people to reach all kinds of people. And it takes all kinds of people to pursue that maturity in Christ that we see in this text. The church is not just a collection of people coming together in order to be blessed. We're not just consumers, but we are all given to the church as gifts. So we see kind of in this text, at the beginning of this text, and Wade will talk more about this in his portion, but at the beginning of the text, we see kind of my role. I see it, these lists here of apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, shepherds. It's just different iterations of the kind of work that I do. It's the different iterations of that work over the centuries, apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers. And part of my role is to sit down with you and help you see the gift that you are to the church. That is what I find exciting. That's what I love to do. I do have the best job because I get to sit down with you and all of your stories and all of your backgrounds and all of your hardships. I get to help you see the gift that you are to the church. That's who you are. My job is clearly outlined here, and way to talk more about what it looks like for us. And I want to give you this illustration I got from this book that I was reading about. This chapter is really good. But basically said, imagine you're a soccer. He's English, so I don't know if he means football or soccer. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, regardless, here's a quote that I want to read to you. This means that our church needs us all to get involved and not leave the ministry to a few. It has been said that churches can be like a soccer match. 22,000 spectators desperately in need of some exercise, and 22 players desperately in need of some rest. Indeed, if we compare Sunday church to a football match, many people think of church as like a crowd of spectators, meaning the congregation of the spectators, gathering to watch professionals play the game, the pastors and the formal leaders in ministry, and these sorts of things. But the reality is, I want to alter that picture. The reality is, all of us are on the playing field doing the work of ministry. You're all in the game. And the spectators are the unbelieving world. They're watching us constantly. I love you. People, when you kind of let off that you're a Christian, people watch you like a hawk. They just do. Because, I mean, God is doing something in that moment. I want you to embrace that you're in the game. All of this is with the goal of maturity. And I'll close out with verse 13. The goal of maturity, and Paul uses three phrases to get that across. The unity of faith, mature manhood, and the fullness of Christ's likeness. The unity of faith. Unity of faith means we're always going back to the Word to come together and reevaluate our ministry, aligning it with the Word of God. There's built-in accountability here for all of the ministries we're doing. It means that we are always evaluating the effectiveness of what we're doing and not afraid to recalibrate things, because our goal isn't church activity. Our goal is maturity and growth. Mature manhood. Christ wants us to grow up in Him, growing up in the things of the Lord. And we know that maturity is not primarily a matter of age, but a matter of spiritual growth. And then last, the phrase He uses, into the fullness of Christ's likeness. Jesus is the one true, full human being that we are growing up into. Did you know that God is insistent on making you more Christ-like? God is not in the business of making you a better version of you. He's in the business of making you look like Jesus. And sometimes you might be banging your head against the wall because you have in your mind a better version of you. That's not what's in God's mind at all. It's Jesus. He's growing you into Jesus. God's goal is to make us more like Jesus. And even as a church, God's goal collectively is to make us look more like Jesus. God wants to grow our ministry here, and He wants us to grow up in Jesus. Amen.
I want to assure Ben, if an Englishman is talking about soccer, talking about football, it's soccer. As we kind of continue in the passage here, as we do this sermon duet, this morning I was in foundations class. And as we were finishing up foundations class, there's usually some kids there who like to help clean up. They like the donuts, so they help us clean up after service. And one of them was Nathan, Ben's son. And he was having a donut. He said to me, "Hey, I hear you and my dad are doing a duet today." And all of a sudden I got afraid. No duets. He's like, "Yeah, y'all are preaching together. It's a sermon duet." And I was like, "Oh, a sermon duet." I don't know if you're relieved, but I was greatly relieved that I wasn't singing. And the reason we wanted to do this morning is for this reason, is that the strength and beauty in Westminster is what we're doing together. Yes, gospel is what we love. Community is who we are, and God will not give up on us. But life's journey, what we do before Jesus and what we do together, it matters. And as Ben talks to you about the fact that Jesus is not in this to make a better you, but to make you like Him, that's the heart of this church. If you're new or you're visiting this morning, it's not just a moral thing where you can be the best you. No, it's a Jesus adventure where Jesus is transforming us into the likeness of God. And how does He do that? Well, He equips us through godly leadership so that we would be established in faith, exercising gifts for the service of the church, the body of Christ, and the community. And you see that in our text as you see the heart of Paul is that there would be a people who would grow up in Jesus, established, and then work it out together, exercising gifts that are given. Just as Ben said, we have gifts. But we learn those gifts and we use those gifts as we're established, as we go deep in Jesus. Notice there in verse 14. So, that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness of deceitful schemes. Life's journey is hard because there's always something there that would seek to upset that journey, overturn that journey with Jesus. That idea there of human cunning, deceitful schemes. The world plays with loaded dice. It's always seeking to upset our trust in Christ. And so this morning when we come, we need to be reminded. Human cunning, that word there actually comes from the idea of sleight of hand, of playing the dice, of manipulating. There are those who don't want you to grow up in Jesus. There are forces in the world and demonic forces that would seek to shipwreck our faith. And if we just stay childish in the faith, we'll be tossed to and fro. Not maturity, but instability. And the heart of the gospel is to bring stability into our heart, that we can walk closely with Jesus as we journey together. So what's being equipped in us? A sure dependence upon God, and a sure commitment to love one another, and a sure commitment to be on the mission that Jesus has, whereas He makes us into His likeness. We care about others even more than we care about ourselves, because the heart of Jesus is the heart of Jesus' people. Human cunning, that idea there is that the world would manipulate out of you the trust of Jesus. It would deceive you into believing you can go it on your own. Craftiness and deceitful schemes there in verse 14. It takes my mind back to Genesis 3. You remember in Genesis 3 when the world was the way the world was supposed to be, when God had made it and God had made it good. And then a serpent. Lucifer comes through creation into creation, and crafty as he was, deceives Eve and Adam into not trusting God. See, there is this sense that deception is demonic. Deception is that thing which would cause us to question God. But when we are deep in our faith, sure in our foundation, when we are equipped, we are established to stand firm in doctrine. That's kind of interesting. Doctrine's not a word that we often like to think of, but doctrine is that core of belief. So Ben's already mentioned it. We're going to develop the unity of the faith, the essential things. That's going to be what guides us. We're going to grow up into maturity. The knowledge of Jesus in every aspect of our life is going to lead us, and we're going to stand together. Life's journey means we're a studying people. A people who want to know more of Jesus. In Foundations, this just kind of came up. Someone asked about a question where it says that we're supposed to study the purity and peace of the church. And I had never thought about it this way until Michael asked the question. But one of the things I do in my marriage is that I study my wife. Why do I study my wife? Because I want to know her. I can complete often every story she tells in public, and she can complete mine. We can complete those in public. But every time I go to try to read her mind, it doesn't go so well, does it, dear? She doesn't like it when I read her mind. When I speak for her. When I assume. But you know, we often do that in relationship to Jesus. We start with Him. And then we think we've got enough. But Jesus has more to do in your heart. And He's going to establish you deep in the doctrines, the truths, the knowledge of Christ, and the truths of the gospel. And so part of a church, as we rub shoulders together in life's journey, as we do this sermon duet this morning, it's to be a picture of what we're doing in each other's lives together. We share together the truths of Jesus to go deeper, to grow stronger. You see, the goal of equipping leadership is to build up, to establish so that we can grow up in Jesus. Because we would be upset. If you take your cues from the world, it plays with loaded dice. It will cheat to upset you. But if you take your cues from Jesus, you've got to go deeper and deeper and deeper into biblical truth. But that biblical truth will always send you out caring for others. You will be desirous of exercising the gifts that are ours to give. And we are called each to participate in using our gifts for the working of the body. We work together. Each member makes an active commitment, an active contribution to the work of the church. So I've had the privilege of being the lead senior pastor for here for 14 years, and I can tell you that most of the work that's been done in the church has been done by those of you who are in the pews. That the gift of Westminster to the community of Bryan College Station is not what's done just from the pulpit on a Sunday morning. It's done by what's exercised in God placing heart truths that are lived out in our lives together. And so equipping leadership establishes truth and extends that truth through a people who love Jesus and love one another and love the world. You see, the heart there is that we have something to give. We have the persuasive power of the gospel that's always at work. Notice there in verse 15, rather speaking the truth in love. Literally, if we were going to try to bring that out of the Greek, it would be something like this. Rather truthing love, we grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. From whom the whole body is joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped when its parts are working properly. See, we grow up to work it out. We grow up in Christ. That's the goal because Jesus, by the way, is the source and the goal of the Christian life. All you need is found in Jesus. And all that we are living towards is to honor Jesus. But as we do that, we begin to exercise our gifts. And each person has a part. If you are a part of Westminster this morning, you have a part, a stake, a share in the ministry of the gospel, in the ministry of the life, in the ministry of the church, in the ministry for the community. Can I tell you, you're really needed here this morning. There is so much for us to invest in. But as we invest in Christ and in one another, we will find that together we are able to invest more in the mission of Jesus. The goal is to give life because we have been given life. The beautiful part of serving together is that the grace of Jesus that we're giving allows us to give our lives away. So we're equipped, we're established, and we're to exercise our gifts in life's journey. You see, gospel community for life's journey necessitates that we go deep in our understanding of Christ as we go out in exercising the gifts of Christ. Ben already said, you have gifts. And one of the challenges, I think, sometimes is that we all have gifts, but sometimes we wish we had another's gift. You ever look down the row and say, wow, I wish I could pray like that guy. Now, I wish I could pray like Mike. Where is Mike? Mike's going to be sensitive because he cheered up in prayer this morning, right, Mike? And you're going to say to Mike, thank you for expressing the heart of a people to a great God. When Mike prayed this morning, wasn't that how you pray? Weren't you moved to the sense of your need of Jesus? And that's the beauty of equipping leadership, elders equipping us with how to pray and approach a Heavenly Father who delights to receive. You know, I want you to study. Study God's Word and study one another and help one another grow in the love of Christ. We're to go deep with Jesus. We're equipped to go deep with Jesus. That means you've got to know Him. And Jesus is making Himself known by His Spirit and His Word so that in knowing Him together, we can go forward. You see, the heart of our text this morning is that the church aims to deepen and strengthen us in maturity that do the works of service in the love of Christ. We are studying people. And one of the things that we call every member to in this church is to join in community. We would love for you to be a part of the community of the studying work of Jesus. Find a community group. You can try out a couple, but find them. And find there the opportunity to rub shoulders with people who want to know more about Jesus, who love Him and want to grow. And listen, one of the things that's a challenge for us is that in our culture there are these themes of isolation, because we live in a culture that wants to have excellence but separation. We feel like we've got to know it all. We feel like we've got to do it all. We feel like we've got to fix it all. And so we try to build self up in such a way that we don't need others. But you know, if you start studying God's Word together, what you're going to find and what you're going to have to express and understand is that we do need one another. We need Jesus. Not a better version of me, not a better version of you, but a better version of what it means to look like Christ in Christ's likeness. And we need to realize that the only one who can know it all and do it all and fix it all is the one who has brought us together. Only God knows it all, does it all, fixes it all. But He allows us to be a part of growing in likeness to Him by learning Him. A little later in chapter 4, He's going to tell us, learn Jesus. We learn Jesus together. And then He tells us to serve. We're a studying people to be a serving people, because we're equipped by God to be a people together. We need to know who we are. Joe Novenson, he says that one time he was studying events of World War II, particularly the POWs that came out of World War II. And there were a number of POWs when they came home that they had been so poorly treated that by the time they got home, they were just a shell of the person that they had been. And they would walk in, and as people began to work with them, their chief question would be, tell me who I am. Tell me who I am. You know where you want to have people telling you who you are? You want to have a deep people who love the Word of Christ and know the Word of Christ and are exercising the gift of Christ? You want to be in a studying community and a serving community. Because the beauty of the church in life's journey together is that God has placed us into one another's lives for the ups and downs, the struggles, the shares, the hardships, to love and walk and cherish Jesus and one another. And as we do that, it has profound effect on those around us. They begin to see the community they desire. You see, the themes of isolation, they run all throughout Bryan College Station. They run through your workplace. They run through your university. They run through every aspect of daily life. And yet there is this craving deep down in the soul for something more. Teenagers were told this summer, studies that were done by sociologists this summer, on summer break, teenagers spent more time in their room on computers and social media than they did outside their room. There is this place where we want to live in isolation, but the beauty of the gospel brings us into journey together, deep in faith, rubbing shoulders, exercising our gifts for the greatness and goodness of Jesus' name. When we talk about being a gospel community for life's journey, when we talk about that from up front, we're saying these simple things. God has come and He is at work. And the work of Jesus matters. And He is building a people, a community, to love and serve Him so that together we might reflect the beauty of all that is in Jesus. And all that is to come. The gospel, that we need someone to save us from ourselves, is our gift to receive and to give because of the joy of Jesus. This morning, as we come, I want to remind you that Jesus is at work. He's at work on you and in you and through you. That we can be a gospel community for life's journey. Let's do this thing together for the greatness of Jesus. Please pray with me. My Father in heaven, We come this morning and we're reminded, because we need to be reminded, that there's a certain spiritual amnesia that we wrestle with, that we often forget our need of you. But thank you, thankfully, Father, you have put us in Christ and in community where we can receive reminders and promptings and joyful confrontation that we are people who need you and need one another. Father, would you delight our hearts in the gifts you give? And would you help us to use them? Equip us, establish us, and use us to exercise the gifts of the gospel in the community you've placed us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.